Well, folks, playtime is over. And we roll the way we roll. You heard this? Say after me. Until the lions have their own historians, the tales of hunting would always glorify the hunter. And you know we'll say that again. Folks, I said, until the lions have their own historians, the tales of hunting would always glorify the hunter. Hello and welcome to the most opinionated hour on radio and the nation's thought-provoking hour. I am Nana Ansakwa IV, chief of the Little Republic of Akwemu Edumasa, and I say thank God it's Monday. It's been a while and it's great to meet up once again to perform this beautiful Ritual Radio's finest premium talk show. Welcome to the ritual I call That's My Opinion. Every Monday at this time, only on Joy 99.7 FM. And our topic today, folks, who stands up for whom? Who stands up for whom? Fine, sorry, I'm fine. Let us all gather and make truth good. Folks, who stands up for whom? I really need your attention on this topic. And it's a conversation. It's not that one, you know, hard fact opinion on my back. No, it's a big conversation. And so I need your attention on this topic, as it's quite sensitive. And even though it's been discussed politically and generated from the political lines, I want us to look at the bigger picture. Now, I have on many shows talked about our unique setup here, where we have established states within a state. Somehow they coexist beautifully. Our unique setup also means that at certain times, at certain places or certain events, there isn't a sovereign. There's no boss. Even though the president may be there, may be present. But depending on the event, there's no one actual boss. Now, I think we have come to the crossroads where we must decide on the path. Who is that one person we all stand up for, no matter the venue or event? Now, let me leave Paramount Chiefs aside. Now, quote me. Let me leave the Paramount Chiefs aside for now. That conversation is not on the table here. Paramount Chiefs and Kahun. So I'm not talking about the Akwamu Hene. I'm not talking about the Doma Hene. No, those are out. But for now, they were literally heads of states before the line was drawn around them and declared them Ghana. Now, I don't know if any discussions have gone on as to who becomes the boss after the line were drawn. But I must give credit to Nananum. Within reason, these states have coexisted very, very well, helping each other, supporting each other, attending each other's festivals, and, you know, just beautifully. But before the lines were drawn, they were literally heads of states, of their states that they have fought brutally for and defended. We, the citizens, folks, are also yet to see the state Ghana as ours. The office of the presidency still seems a bit far and unaccountable to us. To us, it's some guy with his cronies who are above the law, they live large at our cost, and there's nothing we can do about it until 4 years come that you're going to go and vote. So there's that resentment underneath. There's some resentment between we, the citizens, and the political class. You know, we see them as aliens, are not part of us. We already brand them and perceive them as negative even before they arrive there. So there's that tension between us. Folks, however, our loyalty to our chiefs and traditional areas remain tight. We hold our kings and chiefs in high esteem. We demand accountability. We have high expectations of them. And now if the chief happens to be paramount chief, then all these measures are even increased. We don't expect them to stand or courtesy for anyone. Akotonie, hana tumi wo. When you come to the Akwemu, you hear the boys behind say, Akotonie, hana tumi wo. With all pride and vigor, hana tumi wo. They don't expect him to get up for anywhere. Hana tumi wo. Ojamo okum ojam, the king who kills kings, ojamo chiri ojam, the king who captures kings. You know, all these accolades who've been yelled behind. This is ours. And we expect nothing less. Not even if the president comes. Yes, he may stand to embrace or, you know, give a hug as a sign of welcome. But to stand up and wait, say, President Abanti, Akutube, sorry, Jinawana, President Abanti. No, they don't expect that. And it works with most paramounts, if not all. So now, folks, what do we do? And I'm saying excluding the paramounts. Excluding the paramounts. Should chiefs sit and welcome the president because they are in their domain? Should this continue? And how will a child growing up and witnessing his or her chief not giving the president that due relate to the state? Folks, it further entrenches our traditional links, making Ghana always a second place, so that even if somebody was born in Accra, Accra, if you went, he was born in Kolobufie, Mifi Akwamufie. And probably he has never ever stepped foot in Akwamufie. But his links to his parental traditional roots still stands, because the Ghana still cannot register with us. The Ghana does not register with us. And I'm saying that sometimes in order to brew patriotism, we must have something that links us also back to Ghana, even if not equal, so that as much as I see myself as an Akwamunin, I should see myself the same as a Ghanaian. So sometimes we are only Ghanaian when we travel outside of Ghana. But once you are in Ghana, dear, me free Ghana. Me nya Ghana ni. Me Akwamuni. Me Ankrani. Me Aigbeni. Me free North. Me free ya. We haven't been able to get that connection. We are further entrenching our traditional links. So Ghana always comes second place. Folks, the state seems to only exist on paper, but in our hearts, the state does not register. But I spoke to a lawyer friend, and he says, Nana, pay our constitution. The power of the state resides in the people. So it means there's no boss. You and I are the boss, because we are the ones who have the power, according to the constitution, which is basically the Bible of Ghana. But then, you know, in my layman law, Edumasa law, we then have the power, but we have given it to one person for 4 years. So within that 4 years, we kind of have relinquished our power to somebody. I don't know if it works or not, but I'm thinking as soon as you elect somebody, you have relinquished your power for 4 years. And then after 4 years, you get it back to decide whether to give it back to the same person or somebody else. And in the meantime, when that person has that power, i.e. that office, how do we treat that office? Do we say it's our office until, you know, we are above the office, or now the office is above us? Is there that one office that we all succumb to? That's what we're going to talk about today. That's what we're going to talk about today. But let me throw in something here, folks. And listen to me carefully here, because this is really important. And I'll tell you why. The way the president is sworn in, folks, does not reflect our culture. And therefore, maybe we are not connected to the way in which the president is sworn in. So that if a president is elected, he or she should choose as to whether I'll be enskinned or I'll be installed. Now, when you choose whichever one you want, we can now modify the swearing-in ceremony to reflect enskinment or installment. I'm saying this to say that maybe that is why we are more connected and feel that our traditional chiefs and kings are more accountable to us because they've sworn to us directly rather than to some chief justice who I elected myself. I elect a chief justice, so I becomes my chief justice. Me and I'm the man, not the Bible, you cram me. Then I recite a few things, or say, that's it, gonna could you president. But maybe if you're on skin or if you're on stool, you literally swear to the people that if you call me in the morning, afternoon, and evening, I'll be at your call. I'll protect and defend the Constitution. Now the Nini Nakamo. Maybe we may feel connected. Now, I am not saying that we are creating a monarchy. No. I'm not saying that because the president has been sworn in, neba neba bi uhu and wofasi be diadi. No. But just for that four-year period, what can we do so that no matter where you are, you have that feeling, that respect for him? Because as we sit now, if somebody came to my palace, be it from the north, east, west, and south, if they identify themselves as a traditional ruler, I will give them all their due, even though they don't come from my jurisdiction. And all over the country, anytime we know that somebody's gone through that procedure to lead, we kind of give that person some due. Hey, where are you going? So I'm just throwing it in the mix that if we use those processes to swear in whoever wants to lead the country, will it help with us recognizing and connecting to that people? But that's in the conversation. I'm not saying, say, as you say, just in the conversation for now. Because there must be something in chieftaincy that we connect to. Now, before I go to the phones, there's this new phenomenon in chief going on amongst us chiefs, which is also, I feel, paramount chiefs should really pay attention to. Why am I saying this? So I'm a chief. As you all know, Abeku is my son. So I just say, Abeku, Mabeye Maria Hene Mame. That's it. Goes through the process, becomes Maria Hene. There's not even a plastic stool to his name. There's not even land to the position. All he does is just... Oh yeah, Maria Hene. But then Abeku's wealthy. So he buys the biggest and the flashiest kente cloth, all the gold. I mean, he comes dressed like a Christmas tree and comes to sit down. Now there will be a senior ranking chief coming. And as we are sat in state, Abeku now thinks, well, this is Maria Hene to know. No. I don't know where chiefs got that from. So once upon a time, I was sat in the state house. There was a funeral. And, you know, judging, you know, I was sitting really large with my little entourage and my stew, everything. So I was chopping big boy chief pie. all the other chiefs who came didn't come with their, you know, they didn't come with any entourage. So pay my entourage and my sitting, I was the big boy chief there. So I was really chopping my big boy chief. Then there was another small entourage of chief coming, not too big. And he had a linguist in front. So when he got to my sitting, he asked my linguist that I am asking permission to greet. So my linguist just said, oh yes, acquaint them. And I said, no, you must introduce, you're asking permission to greet as what? Who are you introducing? And so when the linguist then mentioned the name, it was a paramount chief from an area, your mind, which means I can't be sitting down chopping big boy chief anymore. I have to take off my hat, doff my cloth, and stand up. And then obviously my little party, everybody stood up because me and my sorry there. So I shook his hands and then he went and then insisted that he would come back and sit next to me because he, I think he always, because of the respect I showed him, he felt more comfortable. And to call around Robert Naminche. But that's how chieftaincy is. He, you know, that paramount chief should not come from my area. He's basically like a general. So whether you are in the recce or you are in the boys brigade or whoever you are, he's a general. So you get up and accord him the general's protocol, case closed. And that's something which chiefs, these modern chiefs creeping in, seem to miss the plot. So I am saying, if you are a low-ranked chief, who would even get up if a divisional chief is coming? Why won't you get up if the president is coming? So I'm saying in this argument or in this conversation, please, let's exclude the paramountcies. Well, that's a topic for another day. Let's exclude the paramountcies. I'm just talking about the chiefs below the paramountcy. If the president is coming, why should you sit? Why should you not show any courtesy? So that if there are some children or youth in the area, they realize that, okay, hold on. The guy responsible the state, when he comes, my chiefs get up. So maybe there's something that we all have to lean to towards the state. It's all a conversation that we are going to have. But then to finish it off, you say that, so the way you have a can't, politicians, so they are sometimes they get very power drunk. So if you're not going to tell everybody to get up and pay homage to them, then what happens? But I think that argument only applies if you tell paramount chiefs to get up. It may get into their heads. But below paramount chiefs, I think in order for the youth and the children in growing up lean and have some affection towards the state, they should see that the person they revere, honor, and like shows respect to that state. So that, yes, they will lean towards the Akwamu, but also remember that, hold on, apart from Omai Hinenu, everybody who gets up, everybody who is there, gets up and gives that respect to the state, the office of the state. Not necessarily the person, but the office bearer. But let me put you on record, say, with Akwamu Hinenu, so Tiho, Nase, high ranking officer, Biba, he would just say, Obek catch them, say, hey, Udu, Obi, I'm sorry. Just say, you cry, that's what will happen. So whether he's an ex-president or current president, he would warn you before time, say, Udu, Obi, I'm sorry. Or if somebody is introduced as a paramountcy and is going around doing the traditional greeting, you'll be warned that Udu Hape will be answering. And so that's one there. Kwafakuton Fancho. So it's all embedded in us that if a chief is coming and is a paramountcy, ex-president, president, Uduha, you dare not say you are sitting down to greet. So this is the conversation we're going to have today. We are at the crossroads. We are at the crossroads. What do we do going forward? It's not political, MPP, NDC, whatever it is yet. I know the conversation has generated from politics, but you know the state will outlive politics. I am saying when the office of the president, you know, is occupied, whoever it is that occupies it, that person, at which level do we give him a due, and at which level do we say a hadia with jurisdiction in Ruha? 0302-216-541. Hello, and who's talking to me?
Hello, Nana, this is Sir George.
Sir George, let me hear you.
Yeah, from Adenta.
Let me hear you.
Formula of Sakama. Anyway, this has been a topic on our platform.
Mm-hmm.
We have a platform of about 60 people.
Okay.
In fact, we just concluded it this morning. You wouldn't imagine. It took us 2 weeks. And I tell you, the moment I drop the call, boys will start calling me because most of us are addicted to Joy FM.
Oh, good.
Having said that, it started from these airway groups that our president met, and some people were instructed to get up.
Mm-hmm.
It went to some place where they were instructed, they didn't get up. And people were comparing. And don't forget, we are from different ethnic groups.
Okay.
Even though we are so tolerant, we are very, very tolerant, very, very educated people on the platform.
Okay.
To me, my position was that no matter how, whether paramountcy or in chief, he owes an allegiance to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Till I read from Dr. Abuba, one of these recent, there is an article going on that Dr. Abuba wrote about one of the professors, one of the lecturers of law, that if the chief is in his area, for instance, a jurisdiction, be it a paramount or whatever, and whoever the president is, sorry to say this, visited him or her, the chief has no obligation to get up. Per the constitution. In fact, initially, that was my point. So when I read that, I thought my point has been buttressed with this. So to me, to me, I think when the president visits those people in their area or the parliament, I don't see anything wrong with the chiefs and his elders, especially. The rest can stand up. There's nothing wrong with that. To me, I may be wrong. I'm not pretending I know much. But to me, that's where I stand. So after reading Dr. Atububa's speech and blah, blah, write-ups, I thought he was making the same point with me. So to me, I think so. But well, we shouldn't forget Ghana is Ghana. Be it a different ethnic groups or whatever, we fall under the same constitution. But it's a tough one.
Let's listen to what somebody else will say.
Okay.
Hello, and who's talking to me?
This is Prince.
Prince, let me hear you.
Yes. Okay. So thank you for this opportunity. I think, as you said, the presidency alone, traditionally, it is recognized. And I think that looking at the age of the president in our culture, he needs to be accorded with such respect. Even if he is not the president and he belongs to any traditional group, I think he will be respected. Looking at our president, he is just like a consortium of any particular tradition. That is how we see people like that. So you could see that most of the people who help in the growth of villages and other traditional areas, they instill them as maybe a consortium and all that. So I think that as you are saying, the president's office should be accorded with that recognition, because he is not just a president. Looking at his age, is elderly enough to be
Okay, let's say if the president was 40 years old, are you saying we should not get up because now this time the president is a bit young?
Okay, that one is also another case of it.
Thank you very much. But, you know, I was looking at the office rather than the person. Okay, hello, who's talking to me?
Hello, Nana, good evening. My name is Frank. I'm calling from Tema.
Frank, let me hear you.
Nana, 3 points. Point number one, yes. I, with all due respect, disagree with you,
sure,
or beg to differ. When you say this is not political, there is everything political about it once there is a president involved.
Okay, so it's not partisan, I beg you. Okay.
Yeah, not partisan. Not excellent. Partisan. Okay, excellent. Non-partisan.
Okay. Okay.
Then point number two, Nana, politics is what is destroying our nation as a people. Nana, if I come to your house, I mean, I may be president of Ghana today, but when I come to your house, I've come to your domain, your jurisdiction, your property. The fact that I am president doesn't mean Ghana belongs to me, and so the land belongs to me. What it means is that I am the leader of the people within the jurisdiction called Ghana.
Okay.
So if I come to your house, I wouldn't expect you, Nana, to stand up to greet me because I am president. In the same way, if the president visits any of our traditional leaders, it is a beautiful thing for the president to accord them the respect due them in front of their own subjects. We don't expect that the president visits any paramount chief, any king, and then expect the king to leave his throne in front of his own people, in front of his own subjects, and then come to bow to the president or to greet the president. Or I am not saying we shouldn't accord our president the due respect.
Okay.
But you see, we have left our tradition as a people, and it is hurting us. It is what is killing us, but we don't see it. We should learn to respect our elders. We should learn to respect our chiefs. We should learn to respect our traditional leaders. We should give them the room to operate within their power or within the what has been given them from their subject. And so if I, president, why is it that when the president or vice president is campaigning or asking for election people to vote for them, when they go to these same places, they go to greet the chiefs, but once they become president or they win elections, they want the people to come and greet them. We don't vote them into office to lord over us. We vote them into office to lead us.
Okay,
and so we don't expect that they will come to.
Okay, let me
that's my contribution.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Let me just throw this one in. You see, I'm in all this argument, I'm excluding paramount chiefs.
Okay.
So all the offices below the paramount chief, and I'm saying that. So let's say me, Nana Nsakwa, right? I am part of the Benkum division in Akwemu. When the Atimpoku Hene comes, I will stand up because he's the head of the Benkum division.
Yep.
Now, if I stand up for Benkum Hene in front of my folks, why am I embarrassed to stand up in front of the president, whose office is probably bigger than the one of the Atipoku chief?
Nana, within the traditional area that you lead, they understand that is the tradition, that you are supposed to stand up for the the head of the Benkum Hene when he comes in. They understand that is the tradition. So there is nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
But when an outsider comes in, into your land, into your town, where you are king or chief,
they need to accord
you the needed respect.
Okay. 0302216541. Hello, who's talking to me? Oops, sorry.
Hello?
Yeah, who's talking to me?
Hello. Yeah, Nana Unkwanso.
Medasi.
Nana, my name is Amosu Nana.
Okay, Nana.
I am not a chief.
Okay.
I'm speaking from Michelle Camp.
Let me hear you, my brother.
Great. If you recall, I think it is just about this time that this issue of chiefs either being forced to stand up or willingly standing up to pay reverence to the president is happening just around this time. I don't ever recall that this has ever been a problem in the country before.
You're right.
I am an ex-military officer.
Okay.
What we say in the military is that any time a commanding officer gets to the parade grounds and his troops are murmuring, and he stands there to say, keep quiet, don't you know your CO is here? That commanding officer has lost his command from that very moment.
Okay.
The awesomeness around you, the authority given you, is what transcends onto your troops and they give you the necessary respect. I am of the view that respect is not demanded. It is willingly accorded. And so, if the president, no matter the age, comes to an area, it is out of respect, out of reverence, that somebody might decide to get up, especially a chief might decide to get up to greet him or pay the necessary compliment. I don't think chiefs should be compelled or forced. And sometimes, in a disgraceful manner, as was exhibited. Nana, I don't think that is right, and that should be encouraged.
Well, I think I'll say something to add to what you said, because I was in a church service once. And then when the church service started, they said that, we are fortunate to have former President Kufuor join us. And then everybody stood up. You know, the priest did not say that to be answered because it was in the middle of the church. So we all stood up. And as the church go on, another, you know, person came up, you know, another high-ranking officer came up. And when they mentioned the name that the person had come, some stood up and some didn't. You know, so I think I get what you're saying, that maybe, you know, you have to earn it rather than demand it. Hello, who's talking to me? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Nana Aiko.
Yeah.
I've been listening to this program always, but today I decided to call.
Thank you.
Let us not forget that the president that we are electing are only 4-year term. But the chiefs are always there unless they are calling to be banned. And so I don't know what respect and dignity we want to give to the chiefs apart from the, I don't know. I don't see anywhere. I don't see that the president has to ask anybody to stand for him before he creates or something like that. No, the chiefs are always there. The president has only 4 years then to go. What about if you don't let them leave?
So
they become former president.
My brother, so with you, the chiefs, at what rank would you say a chief should sit or stand? Maybe divisional chief, subdivisional chief, just normal, would you crew? I mean, at what level should that person stand for the president? Or anybody in the traditional office should not stand for president?
You see, the chiefs, what we are talking about, the chiefs, we have installed them. It is the tradition. I mean, the local people who install the chiefs. But the president, look, you can decide to vote for him or not. And so why is it that the chief has to stand for the president?
Thank you very much. 0302216541. Hello, who's talking to me?
This is Michael. How are you doing?
I'm good, Michael.
Okay. It's a very delicate and debatable issue to talk about. But I want to add some few questions. The chiefs, do they vote?
Yes, they do.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And our president, do they have hand in, you know, like appointing the chief?
Not really, no.
All right, okay. Then I don't see the reason why it should be a debate.
Okay.
Because a chief is in charge of a location, but the president is in charge of the whole country. So even if Asante Hene wants to rise on his feet for the president, I don't see anything wrong with it. Recently, I saw Asante Hene in a picture kneeling down for a reverend minister to pray for him. Did you see that?
I haven't seen the picture, no.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. It was on Facebook.
Okay.
I think a Roman father or something, Catholic, yeah, praying for him. So I don't see why all these things should happen. This is how we give the youth the opportunity to disrespect the elderly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hello, and who's talking to me?
Hello, Nana.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, this is George back on the line. George and Arinda.
George, let me hear you.
Sorry, I have to come in. I think the article I read from Dr. Buba, or from what I heard from him, he was saying that when it is a national gathering,
yes,
then the chief have no obligation, have no choice than to stand up for the president.
Yes, correct.
That's why in most of occasions, the national programs, the president often comes late to show respect. Be who you are, you need to get up. But when you visit them in their traditional places, they are the overlords. And you have no choice. You either decide or you don't go there. But the problem is ordering. If they voluntarily they decide to get up, well, there's nothing wrong. But when you decide to order them, the worst part of it, you see people, Nana, you know, you're a chief. If people order you, or even if you are young, the young one, you talk to the young one, point to your left house. You know what it means. Let alone to this, our elders. Those of us who were born in the 60s. I mean, let's get it well.
Okay.
We should be very careful with all of these things. Thank you.
Thank you very much, George. The 03022165 41 and hello, who's talking to me?
And I'm 15. You can't just go off like that. You can't just go off like everybody is calling and they are just confused. I think you've done right by heart. You just punish like that. And you want us to be happy with you. Want me to be happy with you.
I'm standing up and I'm
apologizing. This one there, me, I don't agree. Every Monday I'm tuning in. When I finish the news, no, I start to boy, you'll miss it today again. Today again. Why is this man?
Fetch me.
Oh, no, me, I'm beefing you. This beef here is who ends today. It will end today. Let me say what I have to say.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
This is Nana Kwesi.
Nana Kwesi, please. Let me hear you.
Nana, respect. It ends. You can't take respect.
Okay.
Aside that, it's end, you know. It's me. Personally, if I see the president, I will stand not because he's the president, but because he's old enough to be my father. Aside him being old enough to be my father, there's been so many instances that I've respected people who are way younger than I am. I see it to be basic. Do you understand? However, between these two people, who is feeling big enough to think that everybody must go to them? Who? Because I think that's what is playing out over here. Somebody feels too big enough and thinks that someone should go talk to them. And that's what's happening. And the other one also feels that, well, you are in my house and you can't tell me how I should greet you. Meanwhile, this shouldn't even be an issue. Someone mentioned Otufo. I don't know where Otufo, even if it's a national gathering, Otufo is not standing out for the president. It won't happen. Unless he's doing that willingly. Do you understand? And I'm not sure the president can order Otufo like the way he does to others.
No, Otufo, I don't even want to bring that into the equation because that's a different ballgame altogether.
No worries.
We are punching above
No problem.
But unfortunately,
let's all respect each other. It's as simple as that.
I hear you, sir. I hear you.
And the beast continue.
Definitely. Thank you. This one says, good evening, Nana. Please don't belittle chieftaincy. I come from two places in Ghana, Kumasi, and as a royal from Upper East, Zembila. So, as a royal, please don't belittle yourself as, don't belittle you, chief. You are a leader, and we look up to you. Chiefs are bigger than president. Chiefs are bigger than president. Emmanuel Ayambila. That's the position. Hello, who am I talking to?
Hello, good evening.
Yes, Shem. Sir. Ah, Shem.
Akwaba, Ukoshe Yuki Kakran, Akwaba. Nana, no presidency supersedes any monarch. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that.
Mm.
Look, we all believe this political system, maybe just in Kenya, this is 1800, only 1900, yeah, and then we started having presidents lord themselves over the real original landlords. Omumu keep adding intact since. If not, UK, why didn't they go for that political, even though they have it, why do they always make sure that the monarch is on top and then there's a prime minister? Yenya Kusunya, any other dilution, and now we want to lord a presidential person 4 years over a chief who would sit on a throne for years until his death. Look, this current president has too many Yawa vibes with our chiefs. It's too many.
Mm.
And is he the only president that has sat on the throne where he has gone somewhere and that so-called respect has not been given to him? Look, sir, in military, big man bar, he doesn't need to shout, I'm coming. You can see his pecs on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot sit down and say you are bracing for him because we know the senior officials in there. And this is our commander-in-chief. How do you go to a place where everybody is there and you are now announcing, I am the so-and-so, so get up and salute me? Really? Then it means there's mutiny. Then perhaps, almost planetary may be, but that's why they don't even want to pay you your compliments. So that is where we've gotten to. We've gotten to a place where we've diluted everything so much that our president now wants to see himself like, maybe 4 year term and I'm 8 year term, we must lord over your custodial rights. Like, oh, what's in my bathroom? Maybe surrender for a moment. Just saying. Let's call a spade, and let's stop this. It's becoming too much. And you see, our current president is an old man. So it makes it somehow a little bit difficult when we speak like this because I've just realized, in quotes, they also go old. It's not about any wisdom or anything being bestowed upon somebody. So that is it. Let no presidency supersede any monarch. It's not done anywhere. And then chief tends, you know, to Yem Yemfa and what is Obian Jinan, what is supposed to represent. But you see, I know we can see Obi to meet Yaka for a chief and all that. So it brings that kind of subtle vibes for chief stances and that kind of thing. But it doesn't dilute the real motive for our chiefs and our custodians of our land. It doesn't at all.
Thank you very much there. Okay, who's talking to me?
Nana Antankwa, Nana Unkwaso.
That's it.
I'm happy to be the last caller.
Yes.
Nana, this is an investiture controversy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the vestiges of colonialism.
Mm.
I think, unfortunately, we don't have enough time to look into it because I would have loved to take us on a little quiz.
Mm-hmm.
If we have local names for English and local names for a chief, what a chief is, what a king is, what is Omanhene, what is Ahenkwa, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But on this specific matter, I would like to say that because we have adopted a system that is originally not ours,
mm-hmm.
we are going to have this investiture controversy where chiefs, even the Asadehene you're talking about, is going to be a nebulous figure in our governance system. So these things are the accidents of a system which is not ours mm-hmm. that we have taken. But like somebody said, it's all about humility. If we are going to be humble enough and educate ourselves to understand that, in fact, one came to meet the other, and at a point, the one that came last had rather chosen a higher position. And I think if we are going to go deeper into it, we will understand it better.